This is Sunday Conversations. Sunday Conversations is a presentation of Davis Broadcasting, Inc. in cooperation with Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Welcome to Sunday Conversations on Smooth Jazz 101, Smooth Jazz 100. I'm your host, Ashley Scott, the Internal Communications Manager here at the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs. Today, we talk to another Rice stakeholder to learn about her journey to entrepreneurship. We're with Susan Simmons Stevenson of the Life Cycle Network. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Ashley. Thank you.
Good morning again, and thank you for being here with me. First, I want you to share your story of how your business came to be and what motivated you to take the leap into entrepreneurship in the first place.
Yes. I actually started my career in corporate America working for major organizations. And throughout the course of my years working in human resources and recruitment, I realized that I was putting in so many hours, so many days of no sleep working for another organization. And when I learned the back end of human resources and what companies were making based upon the services that I was providing, I felt like this is an opportunity for me to branch out into and do my own thing. I knew the process from start to finish. I knew that I had already cultivated tons of relationships in the marketplace. So how do I take that experience and apply it to my own organization, which prompted me to start the Life Cycle Network, just having a conversation with my husband, and he said, let's do it. And we just stepped out on faith and we did it.
Having that support system can be everything when you are starting a business. It was great to have that husband to be able to support you and say, let's do it. And one of the things I'd like to know is, what were some of those early challenges that you might have faced as an entrepreneur when you did start your business?
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, the number one challenge that we faced was knocking down the doors, getting past the gatekeeper in order to go after the business. We knew exactly what we wanted. We knew the companies that we were targeting. However, those relationships were cultivated as an employee for another company. However, I didn't understand what it was going to take to build that relationship myself in order to get the business, which I was faced with tons of challenges. Not really knowing who was the actual decision makers. I knew who I was working with as an employee, but going in saying, hey, I want to do business with you guys, I was never dealing with the right individuals in order to take us to the next level. But once I cracked the code on that, it was definitely the floodgates open when it came to how do you go into an organization? How do you meet with the right decision makers or stakeholders in order to go after the business and get the contract?
Now, you said something key here. You cracked the code. Did that come with mentorship? Did that come with working with an association or a business association? Was that just through networking? How did you finally crack the code?
It was through networking. I consider myself the queen of networking. I have been throughout the city of Atlanta building relationships, meeting people, being intentional when it came to the type of events that I went to and the type of people that I was targeting. I was more strategic in my approach and not just going to events just to go. If I knew that there was a healthcare event that was going on, I would find out who are the keynote speakers, what roles do they play within the organization, and how do I get closer to those individuals without feeling groupie-like, what I would say, but just really stepping in and really understanding who are the key players, what roles they were in, where they were going to be in order to make that true connection.
And how do you leverage those true connections, right? If you're an aspiring entrepreneur, what would you tell them to do to be able to get to the check? Because that's really what is bottom line. How did you get to those contracts?
Right. So, you know, I would position is after you're leaving the events, it's all in the follow-up. Mm. It's all in the intentional conversations that you're having, but the intentional follow-ups that you would have to do after meeting those individuals. And just letting them know what is it that you're trying to pursue or you're pursuing in order for them to understand what, if they're not the decision maker, where to position you in order to do that. So it's really networking, cultivating solid relationships. It may not happen overnight, but it will eventually happen. But just, it's just being persistent with your plan, your own game plan, in order to get that business from those customers.
Yeah, my mentor Haziq Ali would always say, nobody buys immediately, but everybody buys eventually if you continue to follow up and make those connections that you're talking about. So my next question for you would be, what is your service? Like, what do you do for the community? How do you provide your lifecycle network services to providers or to companies? What exactly does that look like on a daily basis?
Right. So the Lifecycle Network, we not only provide a staffing service, we provide an HR service, which consists of anything from training, performance management, helping companies set up their structure, their foundation from an HR perspective. So it's really understanding what the needs are of the customers that we're working with, and providing them with that. Understanding what, you know, how do we are able to step in to say we could be that internal resource for you without being that internal department. How do we come in and help structure your organization so that you're in position to, one, protect your company, protect your brand through our compliance, you know, providing them that compliance piece so that they are knowledgeable of some of the things that they may not be. Although you have huge organizations, corporations, some of those companies, they lack that HR infrastructure. They lack understanding on how to deal with people, how to interact with people, how to really cultivate an environment where it's inclusive, where you are, you know, working towards one common goal.
And one of the things you said just now was that inclusivity and just diversity in the workforce. What are some of the ways that you're helping companies to be more inclusive and diverse from your role as their consultant?
Right. So I look at it, you know, from a, well, technology perspective. You know, we actually bring in, well, we actually have an AI system that will help us identify talent without being biased. Mm. You know, we understand the importance of, you know, that diversity inclusion aspect of the business. But how do we choose the right people, the right talent, without looking at all of the biases, so including interactive technology that will help us identify the right skill set that individuals may bring to the table.
And I know you've done some work with returning citizens. Can you tell us and our listeners a little bit about the work that you're doing to help Americans thrive?
Yes, Americans thrive, yes. It's all about helping individuals who have been or formerly incarcerated individuals, vets, or dislocated workers gain access to resource and education that they typically would not have, which will lead to employment. And also creating a pathway for individuals to obtain sustainable employment in order to be productive citizens. So we actually partner with organizations like RICE in order to give individuals the training that they need in order to take themselves and their families to the next level through training, workshops, and just give them that platform to share their story, mm-hmm. in order to get the jobs that they need in order to move forward.
That's awesome. When I think about just more about your business and just all of the different aspects, like you're a Black woman, you are an entrepreneur, and you can sometimes just be stressed out from having to do all the things that just business owners and just life be lifing, right?
Yes.
So how do you keep a work-life balance, Susan? You always look so good. You just always have such a good, positive energy. I'm curious about that.
Oh my God, it's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge, and it's stopping and making time for yourself. That's one of the things that I struggled with for quite some time, just never stopping. And as an entrepreneur, you feel like you have to continue to work to accomplish those goals. But I do believe that when you stop and focus on self-care, focus on your family, It allows you to step away from what you're doing in order to come back with a fresh set of, a fresh mindset and revive with more creative ideas and juices flowing, because sometimes it all run together and you're like, I'm spinning my wheels. And how do you get outside of that? And it's, for me, it's decompressing, stepping away from the technology, stepping away just and disconnecting from just people, in order to get my mind right. Because when you're constantly listening to everyone talk, it is a huge distraction from your own goals and your own thoughts and ideas. You tend to bring everybody else's ideas into yours, which stifles you, which continues to keep you going and going. And you don't realize that you're not working on your stuff. You're working on something somebody else said that does not have anything to do with what your primary vision is. So it's just disconnecting and decompressing. And mine is going to the gym, working out, and just trying to stay in a positive state of mind.
Looking ahead, what are some of those future goals? You just talked so eloquently about, you know, being focused on what you are purposed to do, right? And tapping back into your own thoughts and that own self-care and that voice of the self. When you look out into the future and think of the Life Cycle Network, what's the big vision? What's the big goal?
Ooh, my vision, I have an issue with wanting to stay connected to what I create. And my ultimate goal is to stay connected, but really disconnect and allow the people that we put in place to do the job that, to continue to, I guess, with the vision that I have, to continue to make my vision a reality through their efforts, and trusting that they could do so that I could just sit back and watch, but at the same time become that servant leader and continue to pour into individuals to ensure that they're getting what they want personally and professionally.
Makes all the sense in the world to me. Rice, and being a stakeholder here, what has it done for you? What has being a Rice stakeholder, how has that impacted your business and your entrepreneurial journey?
The Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs has tremendously impacted my life as an entrepreneur. I actually joined as a stakeholder back in 2019, and I had a vision. And my vision was to become the HR person within the Russell Center, and not truly understanding how this thing was going to play out. We actually were on a call, and Jay said, "Hey, we had everybody talk except Susan." And when he said that, he said, "So who are you and what are you doing?" I told him about my company and what I did, and my ultimate goal was to be able to provide the Russell Center, in addition to the stakeholders, my services. Because if you're in a position within this center, your ultimate goal should be to grow and scale. And if you're scaling and growing, it comes with human beings, human capital. And I'm that person that could provide the human capital for your organization. And he heard me, and he said, "Oh, we have some opportunities coming up." And so he reached out and said, "Hey, send me over your capability statement." That when they say be ready so you won't have to get ready, I was ready, not knowing about this opportunity coming so quickly. And when it did, I sent over the capability statement and the staffing began for the Russell Center. And from that point on to current, I was able to place probably about 85 to 90% of the workforce here within the Russell Center as a stakeholder and as a partner of Rice. And I give thanks to Jay for hearing my vision and making my vision a reality.
I love that here at the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs, we've spent over $19 million with our Rice stakeholders. That's nothing to sneeze at. And it's because of people like you, we're able to make our vision, our mission to build Black business come true. So thank you so much for being with me today, Susan, and sharing your story and sharing just so much insight in your entrepreneurial journey with our audience. And of course, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to Sunday Sunday Conversations. Again, I am Ashley Scott with the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs. And for more information about the Lifecycle Network in today's episode, click the Sunday Conversations tab at smoothjazzatl.com.
Tune in every Sunday at 11 a.m. as we celebrate innovation, perseverance, and the entrepreneurial spirit. Sunday Conversations, hosted by Ashley Scott, only on Smooth Jazz 101, Smooth Jazz 100.